Anybody grateful to be in the house of the Lord today? Nobody but Jesus. He is the great I am. He is our sovereign King. Amen. It's good to be able to lift up Zion songs and give God praise and glory. And it's good to have amen. A music department that can take you there. Amen. Amen. And we're appreciative, grateful. Amen. I pray you've had a wonderful Christmas. And I pray that somewhere in your gift giving, you paused for a moment and gave God thanks for the gracious gift of the incarnate Christ who came all the way from heaven's glory, born in the ghetto hamlet of Bethlehem, only to die a horrible death on the cross. He did all that just for me. Is that all right to say? Amen. Come on, let's give him praise today. Let's give him praise today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Amen. Listen, it's preaching time. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at the word together. Most gracious and eternal Father, thank you so much, certainly for this season of Christ the More Christmas. We are grateful to pause during this time to acknowledge the fact that you came here for us because you loved us and demonstrated that by coming all the way from heaven's glory. And Lord, we are so grateful because of that. Because of our relationship with you, we now have a right to the tree of life. And in fact, we recognize that we are King's kids. We are children of the Most High. And so we're grateful today, and we give your name glory. We give your name honor and praise because, oh God, you alone are worthy to be praised. Now, God, it's preaching time, and we pray that you would anoint me afresh, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay, that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. Oh God, we pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that they may see none of me but all of thee. And Lord, you know when it's all said and done, my goal is to make sure all glory, all honor, all praise goes to you. Have your way today in Jesus' name. Together, every child of God shouted, amen. Amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together. Let's praise him. Praise him. Amen. It is just good to be in the house of the Lord. With all of the things that are going on out there in the world, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you don't mind, stand with me and get your sword in your hand and turn with me to the gospel according to Luke. And we're going to highlight in our hearing, starting at chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 15 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. I know you got your Bible in your hand, but if you don't mind, just turn and wave at somebody. Just say, hey, good morning. Amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Some of y'all not that friendly. Amen. Come on. God's been good to us. Come on, just wave at somebody else. Yeah. Amen. You ain't near somebody, just wave at me. Wave at me. Amen. It's good to be here, Lord. Jesus, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Luke 14 chapter, and we will hear, read verses 15 through 24. Familiar passage of scripture, and it reads as follows. "Follows. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread at the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And the other said, 'I have bought five yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to his servants, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit, no more excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses. Listen, beloved, we have all got excuses and heard all of the excuses. And whenever I think of excuses, my mind is drawn to this text and this parable before us. It is one void of reason and full of excuses. The invitation has been sent out. RSVPs have been sent back. But we are told in verse 18 that they all alike began to make excuses. The account of this parable in Luke's gospel is one of a full of personal and prophetic and practical imagery. We know Matthew gives a similar account of in his gospel, but I want to examine this one, Luke's account of the parable of the great banquet. I want us to examine the truth of the banquet because I want to see if we can find some excuses that sound all too familiar even as we declare 2022 as the year of no more excuses. There are three things I want us to think when we look at these men and this event who made up the excuses. First, I want us to see, beloved, the provision that awaited them. Listen, in the context, and I said the provision that awaited them. Listen, the context of the parable, if you would, deals with Jesus having just discussed a great feast. The ideal is that is where one of all provisions have been made. It's a wonderful spread. And nothing is withheld. Money is not an object. And so a wonderful provision awaits those who would come. Watch how Jesus describes this banquet. In verse 16, he says, "This was a great banquet and many were invited." In other words, make no mistake, this was no ordinary matter. This was something on the scale of an inaugural ball at the White House or a gala at Buckingham Palace. It was, if you would, where Bible historians tell us that this kind of gathering was common practice in the Eastern world. It was a social occasion. It was a feast. It was a banquet. And since hospitality was such an important matter, the text suggests that all stops were pulled out to make this a once-in-a-lifetime event. Theologians suggest that it is an Eastern wedding feast, and if that were the case, it's easy to see why, beloved, it seems to be such a regal occasion. For in the Palestinian culture, a wedding was a very notable and distinguished and prominent occasion. In fact, It was Jewish law that weddings take place on Wednesday, and the wedding festivities lasted for far more than just one day. In some cases, the wedding feast or the banquet lasted for over a week. Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is that the scene of our text is one of a festive and celebratory event unlike any other. It was the party of the year. It was the party of all parties, if you would, where everyone who was someone was invited. And note, beloved, according to verse 1, Jesus was in the house of a Jewish brother who was one of the rulers of the Pharisees. He went to eat bread on the Sabbath, and the Bible says he gave instructions and told a parable about an ambitious guest at the feast to teach about humility in the kingdom of God. In verse 15, apparently a man was sitting at the table with Jesus who heard Jesus teach about humility. And out of nowhere, he seems to shout out, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, remember, this is a Jewish crowd, and the man's shout out indicates that probably he held the common Jewish view that only Jewish people would be invited to feast at the heavenly feast. Here it is, beloved. The truth of the matter is that Jesus responds to the statement by delivering this parable about the great supper. By further investigation, we'll see that that the great supper is symbolic of a great salvation. The text says that this was a great supper, but this great supper is symbolic of a great salvation. And I wish I had time to shout you on this. Listen, beloved, we have acquired a great salvation. You just can shout on that when you get home. Anybody grateful that you're saved? Anybody thankful that you know the Lord for yourself? Anybody come to the place to where they recognize, had it not been for the Lord on your side, a whole lot of us wouldn't be in this place today. This great supper depicts the great salvation that you and I have received. In fact, several times in the Bible, salvation is compared to a great supper. Immediately, our minds have to run to Revelation 19, verse 6, where it reads like this: "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty clangs of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice, exalt, and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." Here it is: "To his bride has made herself ready." And verse 8 of Revelation says, "It was granted her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saint." And verse 9 said, "The angel said unto me, write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Listen, beloved, the marriage supper of the Lamb is possibly the greatest depiction of salvation, because only the redeemed will sit down at this table. I wish somebody would help me here. Only those who are saved, only those who know the Lord will be present at the ultimate supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is a feast for the firstborn. It is an event for the elect. It is a party for the predestined. It is the supper for the saved. And so the supper in Luke's account of this parable is a wonderful picture of salvation. It is the great supper that depicts a great salvation. And please know, beloved, that at the supper of salvation is prepared a table full of everything that your heart could ever wish. There are dishes of forgiveness. You found out that not only has God forgiven you, but you learned how to forgive yourself and forgive others. There are trays of peace for you realize that you have a peace that surpasses all understanding. There are bowls of joy because this joy that we have, the world didn't give it to us, and the world, help me hear somebody, can't take it away. Listen, beloved, there are ladles of love that scoop out a heaping portion for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is what one finds at the supper of salvation. It is a table spread with everything your heart could ever desire, sort of like the table you had on yesterday. It was a table where every need of life has been provided, and reminds us that he is a God that provides. When you look at the great supper, listen, beloved, that depicts a great salvation, it reminds us that he is Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide every single need for us. That's why when you walked up in here today, beloved, you should have had praise on your lips, because listen, of 2021, because it was another tough year, but somebody can shout, God provided provisions that was sufficient for every one of our needs. Am I right about it? And although it was a rough year, God gave us the strength to endure. That although it was challenging, somebody can shout, I still got joy. Am I right about it? And although still in a problematic pandemic, listen, we have to praise him for bringing us through. Is that anybody? Anybody's testimony today? Is anyone grateful today that God brought you through? He brought you through 2021. Am I right about it? And listen, we ought to praise him for bringing us through. I'll give you 5 seconds if you just don't mind. I know you ain't been here long and we ain't got long to stay, but as long as you are up in here, I know somebody want to praise him for the mere fact that God brought you through this year that has just come to, about to come to pass. If somebody lost their job, but God kept you. Somebody didn't know what they were going to do, but God held on to you. And all you want to do right now is you up in here on the last Sunday of 2001, and you ought to just rip back and give God some praise.
Did he bring you through? Somebody shout, yes, he did. And that is the provisions, a great supper that depicts a great salvation that awaits those in this parable. However, secondly, notice the problem that afflicted them, not only the what awaited them, but look at what afflicted them. We used to say when I was growing up, you flicked it. Come on, somebody help me. The problem that afflicted them, in spite of the fact that a great supper had been prepared and all of the provisions were in place, there was a problem, here it is, that kept these men from coming to the party. Listen, get the picture. The date for the party had been set. The guest list had been finished. And I envision someone seated at a rolled-top desk in a dimly lit corner of a room, writing out invitations with an old fountain pen. And when we think of these invitations, we can't help but look at how the invitation was extended. We are told, listen, that the host of the party extended the invitation in verse 17, and he said this, and at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now prepared, now ready. Do you see that? Listen, first, you got to notice the simplicity of it. Found in just one word, everybody shout, come, come, come. That's what he says. He says, come, come on, for everything is now ready. That one word, listen, everything had been done that needed to be done, and the only thing left was for those who were invited to come and feast at the banquet. The word come is used over 700 times in the Holy Writ. And here it is. It begins in the book of Genesis when God stood at the door of the ark and said to Noah and his family, come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me. It continues in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, when the Lord gives the invitation. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, it shall become like wool. Jesus picks it up and offers his own personal invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28, where he says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in Matthew 16, chapter verse 24, where he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Even in Mark chapter 1, verse 7, he told the young men, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Listen, come now, right now, for everything is now ready. In other words, beloved, the supper of salvation is ready, and it is so simple that all you need to do is show up. You don't have to bring anything, just come. You don't have to wear some special clothing, a tie. Come on, somebody. But you can come with your pants sagging, or you can come with holes in your jeans, but you just come. Are you listening to me? You don't have to have the proper etiquette or the protocol. It's not a requirement. You don't have to know which one is your salad fork or your dinner fork. You just got to show up. It's just that simple. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come, the text says, because now everything is ready. Are you listening to me? We see the simplicity of it, but we also have to see the urgency of it. Listen, the key word is found in the invitation that sent out. Come, for everything is now ready. I hope somebody hears that. This is a timely matter and a timely message. It's a matter of utmost importance, and it should not be delayed. If anyone is going to come, the text suggests that they ought to come now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. Don't wait till Tuesday or Thursday. Don't show up on a Wednesday. No, come now. Jesus said, the host of the great supper of salvation is saying, I've done my part. Help me here, somebody. I've made the preparations. I paid the price on a hill called Calvary. And all you got to do is show up. But if you're going to show up, you better show up now. Listen, if you would allow me to paraphrase, I believe that God is saying, I have provided the appetizers. Now you got to provide the appetite. He says, beloved, that I provided the meal. All you got to do is open your mouth. I provided the sweet trays, but now you got to provide the sweet tooth. But if you coming, listen, I've done everything that I need to do. You must come now. That's a word to somebody right now. You better come now, because tomorrow is not promised to you. Yesterday is gone forever. Yesterday will never be again. Yesterday is filled with broken dreams and wasted years and hollow regrets. Furthermore, tomorrow isn't here yet. And the truth is, tomorrow is not promised to us. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but somebody can shout, I know who holds tomorrow. In reality, now is all we possess and all that we have been promised. The Apostle Paul penned it like this when he said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. The invitation to the great supper of God's glorious and gracious salvation has been extended. Invitations have been sent out to whosoever whosoever will. Anybody in that crowd? And listen, beloved, and all we have to do is come to the party. Listen, the invitation was extended based on simplicity and urgency, but we also see that it was evaded as well. Watch the text. Some folk turned down the invitation. Somebody shout, oh no, oh no. Listen, somebody said, I can't be there. I can't show up. The plans have been made. The servant who is the picture of the Holy Spirit is the servant who is the picture of the Holy Spirit is sent to personally deliver these invitations to the feast. However, a few of the folk who were invited made up excuses not to come to the great supper. Listen, beloved, I find it interesting the specific excuses that was given by these men. First, we see the man gives an excuse of accumulation. Watch in verse 18. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go out to see it. Please, brother man, excuse me. He had just dropped his entire life savings into a wonderful piece of real estate. He had just acquired and accumulated a rare piece of property, and he was consumed with what he could get and how big a piece of the pie he could put on his plate. And also, his excuse of accumulation caused him to miss out on the supper of salvation. Here it is, beloved. I wonder how many people today is using the same excuse. Possibly they are aware that Christ made every provisions. We've heard the story that he hung, bled, and died on a hill called Calvary. He died not just because he wanted to die, but he said, I lay down my life and no man takes my life. Why did he do it? Because he wanted us to be in relationship with God. Listen, beloved, their view of material gain and this excuse of accumulation dims their view of spiritual matters. And I wish I had time to tell them, and some of y'all can testify, that no matter how much we accumulate in this life, either it's going to leave us or we're going to leave it. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is cars and creature comforts and cash can't bring complete satisfaction. Only God can do that. I wish somebody would help me. Is that a song that my boy sung, can't get no satisfaction? Listen, beloved, cars can't bring satisfaction. Cash can't bring satisfaction. Creature comforts can't bring satisfaction. Just ask the stars in the Hollywood or the athletes on the court. Listen, beloved, it don't bring satisfaction. Only God can bring us satisfaction. And I know I got some folk in here. You ain't got money, but you got joy. I wish somebody would help me. You ain't got the kind of car you want to drive, but you got a peace that surpasses all understanding. You ain't got a big house on the hill, but you know that every child of God got shoes. I got shoes, and you got shoes, and God will supply all of our needs. Am I right about it? There's an excuse of accumulation, but also, beloved, we see the excuse of preoccupation. Watch verse 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please, brother man, have me excused. In other words, he put off the banquet because he was preoccupied or too busy. He said that he had to devote his time to working those oxen in the field, and he couldn't find time to leave them behind to come to the banquet of all banquets. I can hear him say, you know, all that sound good, and I would really love to come, but I got all this work to do, and I just can't get away right now. Maybe later, but right now, I'm just too busy. Have you ever heard that excuse, beloved? That seems to be one of the popular ones when it comes to spiritual matters. People are just too busy. And listen, if you are too busy for God, then listen, beloved, you are too busy. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Truth is, we find time to go everywhere else. Come on, somebody help me. And we find time to do everything else, and yet it seems that we are too busy to find time for God. The man's preoccupation kept him from coming to the great supper of salvation. Finally, not only do we see the accumulation and preoccupation excuses, we see the excuse of association. Watch this, verse 20. Another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Listen, I must give this fellow a bit more slack than the others. I understand his excuse. Sounds like to me, brother man just got married, and he ready to run off to the honeymoon. I wish somebody would help me. And whatever the case may be, he is using the excuse of association or relationship to keep him from the party. The truth is, beloved, that excuse is used a lot. Am I right about it? Folk value relationship with they boo, they bay, they ride or die than their relationship with God. They baby mama or baby daddy seem to be more important than the Father on high. Do any of these excuses sound familiar? And if I could, beloved, I know this is a salvific message, but it also has some root in sanctification as well. Can I flip the script for a minute? Because I want to talk to those who not only declined the invitation, but to those who come to the supper of salvation. But I think there's a word for those who accepted the invitation like you and I, because these excuses were used by those who accept the invitation as well, and it has nothing to do with our salvation. We saved. Come on, somebody help me. But it has to do with our sanctification. In other words, one has accepted the invitation but declined participation. Are you listening to me? We make excuses as why we can't make it to Bible study, our prayer meeting. I wish somebody would help me. Why we can't get involved in ministry. And truth of the matter is, that excuse has nothing more than alibis, which keeps us from doing what we ought to do. Can I give this to you for free? If we want to experience the fullness of our salvation, we've got to stop making excuses. Can I say that again? If we want to experience the abundance of our salvation as individuals who have accepted invitation to the great supper. Listen, beloved, we've got to quit making excuses, and we've got to fully participate with the process. And listen, beloved, it's the same old excuses, the excuses of accumulation, the excuses of preoccupation and association that keeps us from participation. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Y'all remember, beloved, when we were young, some of y'all just maybe the other night, come on, somebody help me. And when we went to the party or the club, and there were folk that wouldn't dance or wouldn't participate, and while we were having fun on the dance floor, I wish somebody would help me, they were holding up the wall. They were what we call wallflowers. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, when we left the party, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We left out the party tired and exhausted and spent. We left out sweating and glistening. I wish somebody would help me from all of that spray we used to put in our Jerry Curl. I wish somebody would help me. We used up all of our energy because we left it all on the dance floor. And when we left, we used to say, man, that was some kind of party. We would say things like, it's all the way live. Can I help you real quick? Listen, the young folk would say it like this. It was lit. It was the bomb. It was fire. Thank you. Amen. Where is Tyler when you need him? Listen, beloved, it's all the way live for those folk who fully participate with the process. Listen, for those who didn't participate, they didn't experience the fullness of the party. They were at the party but didn't experience the fullness of the party because they would not participate with the party. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that if you let me. Why come to a party and not participate? Why sign up and give your RSVP and not participate? participate. I wish somebody would help me. If I'm going to the party, I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to leave it all out on the floor. No more excuses, because excuses make you miss out on the abundance of life that God has promised us. Somebody ought to shout, give it all you got. Give it all you got. If you're going to be at the party, at least you ought to get on the floor. If you're going to be up in the house, at least you ought to throw your hands in the air and wave it like you just don't care. You ought to give God your everything, because you are at the party and you need to participate with the process. Preach, Reese. Are you listening to me? And I'm talking to somebody. You've been in this church since 19 or nothing, but you ain't joined no ministry. You ain't joined no small group. You still being a sitting saint, just watching everybody else do the work. Tap somebody and say, leave it all on the floor. Are you listening to me? I'm done when I tell you this, beloved, because listen, I need us to see, if we would, the provision that awaited them. I need us to make sure we understand the fact that there are, if you would, the penalty, that the provisions that awaited them, but also, it's in here somewhere, the problem that afflicted them. But lastly, here it is. I'm done when I tell you this, the penalty that amazed them. Watch this. When the servant comes back with the word that these men have turned down the invitation, that they offered excuses, they found an awful yet amazing penalty for their rejection. Verse 21, 23, so the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the cities and bring the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And verse 22 says, and the servant said, sir, what you have commanded we have done. And there is still room. Somebody shout, still room. Still room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Listen, they had rejected the gracious and glorious invitation of this great supper of salvation. The host of the banquet wished to fill the house, beloved, with invited guests. However, there were men who felt their own personal matters were more important than their spiritual matters. And so they proved to be unfortunate. And please note, the rejection of Christ's invitation never comes without serious repercussions. Watch verse 24. It says, for I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Are you listening to me? These men were given every opportunity to come to the great supper. Everything had been taken care of, and all they had to do was come, show up. However, their excuses won out, and now it was too late. Truth of the matter is, if we're honest, beloved, one day it will be too late. There will come a time when the invitation one holds in their hand will expire, and it will be too late to respond. And beloved, please know that when we give an excuse, we're not saying no to the preacher. We are ultimately saying no to God. It is the rejection of his glorious invitation, and one day it will be turned down for the last time, and it will be too late. And here's what happened. The text suggests they missed the party. Invited to the banquet, but decided that other things were more important. They missed the party of the year. They missed the party of all parties. They missed the supper of salvation. They declined to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. However, there are those who accepted the invitation of the banquet, and there are those who experienced the pleasures of having a seat at the table. Am I right about it? Listen, those of you who know that you've been invited and you accepted the invitation, exhortation, you know that one day you walked in and waited to hear your name called. I wish somebody would help me. You were escorted to your seat that had been prepared for you. Your name tag was there because your name had been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you listening to me? It was listed under a child of God. Listen, are you hearing me? And when you sat down and ate, everything was prepared just right. Everything you needed was provided. And it reminds me, beloved, of one day when me and the wife took the Reese's Pieces out to Denny's one day. And when we got to the attendee said that you got 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute wait. But then we kept going back and asking the attendee, why is it taking so long? He said, well, the problem is that you have five people. And because you got five people in your company, listen, it's going to take us longer because you need a bigger table. Are you listening to me? Listen, we were all sitting in the lobby waiting to be fed, waiting to be seated. And so we waited 10 minutes and we waited, seemed like 20 minutes and 15 minutes. And then it seemed like longer and longer. And my stomach began to talk to me. I wish somebody would help me. I was hurting on the inside, dreaming of those pancakes and French toast and butter on my, I wish somebody would help me. But then, beloved, then I heard the man call my name. He said, is there a Kenny in the house? I wish somebody would help me. And when I heard my name call, listen, me and the wife and the Reese's Pieces jumped up and we eagerly strolled down that aisle. I wish somebody would help me till we got to our seat and all of the pains were gone because we had our seat at the table. Am I right about it? Can I help somebody today, beloved? Because listen, that's why those of us who got a seat at the table, we ought to just praise him. You don't need a praise team to make you praise God. You don't need the preacher to prod you and push you and hoop you to praise God. Just because you know what you know and you know who you know, you ought to walk up in here with praise on your lips just because God made a way for you. Am I right about it? Because when you sat down at the banquet table, you found out and you had to testify that you had dishes of forgiveness and trays of peace. You had bowls of joy. There were platters of purpose and you scooped out a ladle of love. You dined on destiny. And don't forget that the banquet is a celebration. And even though we ain't seated at the literal table today, remember that the banquet was a celebration. And you ain't gotta wait until the battle is over. You can shout right now. Am I right about it? Somebody can give God praise because you got a seat at the table. Somebody can say glory to God because I got a seat at the table. 2021, I made excuses for my behavior, but in 2022, there's no more excuses. No more excuses. And the reason why we ought to not make excuses is because he didn't make excuses. When they hung him high, he didn't have an excuse. When they stretched him wide, he didn't have an excuse. When they took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb, he didn't have any excuse. He died a horrible death on an old rugged cross. And because he died, I don't need to give any more excuses. I'm gonna give him praise right now. I double dog dare you right where you are to give God some praise up in here simply because you got a seat at the table. You ain't got to worry about who's looking at you or who's staring at you. If God's been good to you, then you ought to throw your hands in the air and you ought to wave it like you just don't care. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Today is the day of salvation.